this morning I've got three things that I'd like to share with you. And upon my heart as I studied the Word, even just yesterday, to what I was going to talk about, the Lord revealed three things unto me. And it wasn't until I actually sat down and read through a few verses that I could see the Lord was really talking to me. So as I present just a little word from the Word of God today, I'm trying to apply this to my own life first before I would pass it on to you. And the three things are, what are we thinking about? What are we brought out from? And the joys of being a Christian. Now, we've been singing and hearing already through the Word of God how awesome God is, through the Bible, and how awesome God is and what God has done and what God can do in our life, and how we're encouraged just to live our life for Him. And this morning I'd just like to pass on just a little word of encouragement to each one. As we live our lives down here on earth, we don't know how long we're going to be here for, but we're encouraged to live our life for Him. And by living our life for Him, it involves our thought life. What do we really think about? Now, on Sundays, when we come together on times like this, it's really great. And during the week, when we come together at a prayer meeting, we can think about the Lord. But what goes on in our mind in other times during the week? I picked up a book last night, and it talked a little bit about this. You know, we're all busy. We can't get away from the fact that we get busy in life. We get occupied with work. We get occupied, the ladies that look after children, with home life. So many things go through our mind during one day. And yet, do we ever think about the Lord? And as I challenge you, I would challenge myself as well. We go right through from the time we get up in the morning, right through the day. Do we consider the Lord? What are we thinking about? You know, the news comes on, and I've got a reasonably young family, and the news comes on, and I like to listen to what's happened in the world, to see what's happened in our city, to see what's going on, to avail myself of what's happening. But the Lord has encouraged us to think about Himself. And there are some verses I'd like us to just open our Bibles, for those people who have got a Bible, to Mark's Gospel. And in these three headings, I'd like to try and gel the three together to see what we're thinking about, what we've been brought out from, and just the wonderful joys of being a Christian. The wonderful joy that should be in our heart and in our life. And the three should intertwine. I'm hoping that they will. The thoughts I had last night intertwine, but whether they come out the same this morning, we'll just have to see. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, and we're just going to read verse number 13 and verse number 14. And we'll make a few notes of some other verses in the earlier chapters of the book of Mark. It says there, "And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." Now, what I wanted to bring out here was, if we can picture in our mind back here when the Lord was here on this earth, when he was doing the miracles that he performed, when he had all the people that were congregated to him, what were they doing? He taught them. The multitude gathered around him. And it doesn't say here what the number was, but later on we find that the 5,000 that were fed, we find that the amount of people that were following the Lord, what did they have on their mind? I know that there were some of them that were critical of what the Lord did when he healed on the Sabbath day. But what did they have on their mind? All they wanted to do was to see what the Lord was doing. the acts that the Lord was performing, the miracles that he was doing. The people back in this day, that's all that they wanted. Now we transform that over to today, in the year 2007, where we have a wonderful privilege of being a Christian down here on this earth. And even as we drove here this morning, you follow people, you see people going their various ways, and you wonder whether they've ever consider the Lord in their thought life. And you wonder, as we go about our day-to-day experience, what are we really thinking about? The people back here in this day, they were thinking about the Lord. Because in various parts here we find that he taught by the seaside. He went into a house and he taught. There was many places that the Lord taught. And this is the experiences that we should be encouraged to go back to see how the Lord taught and see what he done and what occupied his mind in relation to the people of the day. Where the people of the day came together and all they wanted to do was listen to the Lord. Then in the second verse we read about a man. And as he passed by he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and said unto him, "Follow me." And he arose and he followed him. You know, I have heard some time back now where people not really interested in following the Lord. Yes, they come to church, and that's a great thing. But to actually follow the Lord and to see and to realise what the Lord has done for them, not really interested. But see what this man does. He was at work, and the Lord passed by, and the Lord said unto him, "Follow me." And he didn't have an excuse. He didn't say no. He rose up and he followed the Lord. And this morning, if that's the only thing that I can pass on to you today, it's a great thing to do. However old you are, however young you are, just to follow the Lord and to do what the Lord wants us to do in our life. What are we thinking about? What's going on in our mind? And you know, it's amazing when you sit down and you have an opportunity to have a little quiet time, whether you read, whether you're praying. How many other thoughts come into your mind? How many other distractions come into your mind? It's all the time. It's all the time. And so this little thought that I had about what are we thinking about? And in relation to the way the multitude followed the Lord back then in his day, to what the people of the world are following today, how we are to be an influence in this world and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So our first part of the message that I have today is, what are we thinking about? And the second part now we'll move on to is what we've been brought out from. And we might turn now to the book of Ephesians. We might read a few verses there. And this is all pretty basic Christian living. But to get the basic teaching first is a wonderful thing, and to grasp it and to continue to be reminded of it is something that I need, and I'm sure is something that we all need, is what we've been brought away from. We're going to read a few verses in Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse number 1. And it says there, "And you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. These few verses, and now I'm speaking this morning to those people that have had a personal dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ, that have been forgiven of their sins and are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure we can all look back to a time in our lifetime when these verses, when these the first three verses that we read, meant so much to us. The sin that came upon us so easily. If we read in our first verse, it says, "And you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sins." So if we were dead in sin, we have no life for the Lord Jesus. When someone passes from this scene, when someone dies, there's a finality, there's nothing left. When someone passes away, there's no life left in them. Life is gone. Life is gone from them. And so, we as well, when we think of our own Christian life, when we were in sin, there was no thought of the Lord. We were dead to the Lord. We didn't want to have anything to do with Him. We're alive to this world. And the reason because of this, we go right back to creation where Adam and Eve sinned. And because Adam and Eve sinned, we have all sinned. We're all born in sin. We have no chance. Everyone in this hall today were born in sin. So if we were dead in our sin, all we wanted to do was the wrong thing. Verse number 2 talks about a time past. You walked according to the course of this world. I want to give you a little example here in relation to the course of this world. If you decided that it was time to have a break, to have a holiday, and you sit down and you decide where you want to go. Okay, so you make preparation, you make a plan, and the time comes, the day comes where it's time to go away. So you pack your car and away you go on your holiday. And you plan a course, and you've got to be at a certain motel by that night, so you drive to that motel and you stay there, and then you've made preparation for the next day and so on. It's a course that you take during your holiday. It's the same as life. We decide when we leave school that we want to be, I'm a builder. So I decided that I wanted to be a builder. So I pursued that course and I found a place where I could work. So I did my apprenticeship there. The course that went down was a building course. So I made myself available to that and I became a builder. It's the same in every aspect of our life. The course in which we're going down now, I trust that it may be one that would follow the Lord in relation to our thought life, in relation to what we've been brought out from. And it's good to be reminded what we've been brought out from. But it's a sad thing to think of does that still interest us? Does that still interest me? The course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And who's that? Is Satan ruling our life? Is Satan ruling my life? That's a question that hit home to me yesterday as I read these verses through and had a little time with the Lord. Am I listening to what the Lord wants me to do? Or am I listening to what Satan is trying to move me and manoeuvre me to do? Among whom also we had our conversation. We've all been in the workplace where the conversation is not real good. And we get involved in it, and it eventually runs our life because we think about it after the time goes past. This is where we were. And this is what we enjoyed. And this is what we love doing. We love to sin, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of our mind. Our mind and our flesh and our whole body was wrapped up in sin. And it's great to be reminded sometimes that what we've been brought out from. Let's go to verse number 4. The first three verses, I would say, would bring us to a point where we're absolutely dead to the Lord, at the lowest point where anyone could come. And what happens next truly brings a smile to my face. It says there, verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love with which he loved us." Ah yes, we look at the young man that got all his goods and left his father and mother and went into another country and enjoyed himself and fulfilled everything that he wanted to do. He may have loved it for a short time, but God's love continues forever. For his great love with which he loved us. God stepped in, realised that we were so deep in our sin, realised that we needed a saviour, and God stepped in and he saved us from our sin. Verse 5, "Even when we were dead in sins, he hath made us alive together with Christ." Now, if we're going to be together with Christ, Christ didn't sin. Christ couldn't sin. He couldn't do anything wrong. And yet we've been brought out of a place where we just continued in sin. And he brought us together with him. And he's raised us up together. And made us sit together in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. So the second part of my little talk this morning in relation to what we've been brought out from. We've been brought away from sin. But the question that I will ask is that still engulfing our life? Is that still involved in our life? What we've been brought out from and where we are today. Now the last part, in the last few minutes of this morning, I'd like to look at the joys of being a Christian. And we're going to read the last three verses of this little portion here of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, 9 and 10. And we'll see the absolute joy that should be ours. It says there, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So it's only by the grace of God that we've been brought out of sin. It's only by the grace of God that we've been saved. But we've been given a wonderful joy and a wonderful privilege to work with the Lord. To be here this morning, to be able to see the children in the Sunday school, to be able to work together in the things of the Lord. The wonderful joy that should be upon us all the time. But yes, we do get disappointed. If we work together with some people and we get disappointed and get let down, and that's life. That's part of the sinful nature, what we've been brought out of. It really hurts us sometimes to see this. But surely the joy that should engulf our life, to realise that the Lord Jesus loved us and that he gave himself for me. Surely that should bring a joy to our hearts this morning, to think that we are his workmanship, as it says in verse 10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So our walk's involved here. How are we going to walk? What are we going to do when we walk? What are we going to do when we think? What are we going to think about? There's a couple other verses that we might just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9 in relation to our joy. Second Corinthians and chapter 8 and verse number 9. And this is talking about the example of Christ. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So we can be rich in Christ. I'm not talking about wealth or fame. I'm talking about being rich in the Lord. To realise that he needs us and we definitely need him to be a servant here on this earth, to be a witness here on this earth, to think that the Lord needs me, sinful, hell-deserving sinner like me, that the Lord would need me. Truly this should bring a joy to our hearts. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 12. Says that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That the Lord's name would be glorified in me. Now we're talking very personally here this morning, that not taking this very lightly, that the Lord's name may be glorified in me. Surely that should be a wonderful joy. Just to be a Christian. Just to truly know that the Lord Jesus Christ loves me. He gave himself for me on Calvary. What a wonderful thing. And I would encourage you, each one here today, just as we've read these few verses, just as we've tried to explain, tried to say a few things, that our thought life throughout this day, throughout this week, may be upon the Lord, upon his love. We may truly realise what we've been brought out from the sin that so engulfed us, what we've been brought out from, and trust that that's not still occupying our hearts and minds today, and the wonderful joy that is ours to be a believer.